Blog Talk Radio.
Deliverance.com here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would, go ahead and get a pen and some paper, and you can take notes. And at the end of the ministry tonight, we will ask you if you have any questions or comments about the ministry so that we can all grow thereby. So with that being said, I'd like to go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, this is part five of the transfer of grace. And I would like to kind of stir us up so that the things that God has begun will be able to be finished. And he promised he that begun a good work, he'll complete it. And part of the stirring would be the process of that completion. As we find ourselves in situations that are not favorable for life itself. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and that's not favorable for life. But for those that are connected to God, he said that those that know their God, they will be strong, they will do exploits. So then my question is, why is it the news of the day, the representation of what's supposed to be happening, is not that exploits that the children of God should be doing, those that know their God? It didn't say those that have heard about their God. See, I'm looking for the transfer of the grace, because the transfer of the grace is us utilizing the power that has been given to us, finding ways to bring answers and resolve because of the grace of God that is present. Jesus came, and the Bible says that he was full of grace and truth. And it says he went about. He was anointed with the grace. He was anointed with the power. And he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. See, so then that tells me that the power that's resident has to be transferred to others by use. We looked at Hebrews chapter 5, and it says that last half, that those are who are full age have exercised their senses. They ready for strong meat, it says. Now, we ain't talking about no milk. We ain't talking about no pablum. We're talking about strong meat by reason of use. See, they are of full age. See, so what's needed in the earth today is saints of God that are full age. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the whole earth is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. So then it's like the queue has already been made up, and it doesn't appear that we're on the set ready to go. We're still looking for someone else to come up with an answer. And that answer, we might think, is coming from the governmental branch. No, it says very clearly that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Okay? So then it becomes incumbent upon us to function as we were called to function. It didn't say that we were the pillar and ground of that which is already established. It says we are the pillar and ground of truth, that which causes freedom. Come on, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you disciplined, my disciples, indeed, and you will be intimate with the word, and the word that you are intimate with will cause or make you free. So then I begin to ask the questions, where is this liberty? Where is this freedom that he said we should walk in? It's already been transferred. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Therefore, you go. There is the transfer. But see, we have a purpose to grow in grace, to utilize the grace. I'm not denying that the grace and the faith has been given to you. He's given to every man the measure of faith. Okay? So Jesus has made the transfer, but we haven't connected with it. We haven't operated in it to the level where it begins to impact and change the world that we live in. I mean, you know your neighbors are looking for answers. You know they're looking for a way out. And Jesus gave us to them as a gift to bring them out of the mess. Psalms chapter 2 said, ask me and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. The heathen, the unsaved, the sinners. And he said, I will give them to you and that will be your inheritance. So then we have to ask the question, what are we doing with our inheritance? Why would we stand back and talk about them and not give them what's necessary for them to come out? And it's more than just giving them conversation. I appreciate you giving them conversation. They've heard about Jesus left, right, and sideways. But see, when you give them an invitation by the grace of God, it's different because grace brings with it power. Amen. See, Jesus was full of grace and truth, and he went about doing good with that fullness that he had. And of his fullness have we all received. And what did it say next? Grace for grace. I'm just quoting John chapter 1. Okay. We beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. and of his fullness. I just read from 14 to 17. John chapter 1. See? So then, if God intended the grace to be utilized, we have to understand that transfer. We have to grow in that which we have received. When you get a gift at Christmas, you go back to a couple of years, y'all. When you get a gift at Christmas as a young child, sometimes those gifts had to be assembled and required directions for you to utilize them. They were still in the box new, and sometimes they had to be put together and then the directions read and understood so that you can play with it. You got a game that was a good game to play, and inside that game, even though you saw all of the pieces of the game, there were instructions in the game to show you how to enjoy the game. Amen. See, well, the life that we've been called to in the Spirit has the same applications. It was a gift, and it came with instructions. And a lot of times, rather than read the instructions, we'll go and try to function by what someone else has said. Play the game by somebody else's rules. Come on now. I know we've been guilty of that, because the excitement of the new makes you want to use it instead of learning how it's supposed to be applied so that you won't abuse it. If you don't know how to use a thing, if you don't know the proper use of a thing, abuse is inevitable. And so we can find ourselves not listening to what the word said, but rather listening at what maybe a pastor said, what the prophet said. See, no, I would encourage you, go to the book yourself. Because everything that God has told me, taught me, showed me, he wants to teach you, show you, and give you the understanding of the fullness of it. See? Because the Bible says that I'm just here, according to Ephesians chapter 4, I'm just here to perfect the saints. Fivefold ministry is here to perfect. Well, if you don't have something operating, how can I then perfect it? And it says that when this process of you coming, bringing your faith, aligning your faith with those who have obtained the precious faith, then what happens is now the body can edify itself in love. That means it'll be built up to address the issues that face the body, that face the world. It'll be built up. It'll be strong enough to handle it. But because we haven't functioned in unity, because we haven't decided to join ourselves with the body of Christ, and we try to go make functions of a part rather than the body. Oh, see, I'm trying not to go here, but here it is. You know, we separate according to a denomination, according to preference. That's really what that is, according to preference. And so then we'll go to my church because we prefer my church instead of going and find out what's in front of the body, because God is not coming back for a Baptist body. He's not coming back for a Methodist body. He's not coming back for a Pentecostal body. Amen. He's coming back for those that are obedient to his word, those that submit as him being Lord. See, I appreciate that you came to Christ and that made him Savior, but he said he must be Lord of all. See? So when I separate myself as a Baptist, as a Methodist, as a Church of God in Christ, as I separate myself, I'm not obeying him. Come on, y'all. I mean, you can see that. He's calling for unity, and we settle for separation, preference. And because we've settled for preference, then the part of the body that we think we are exalting is the part of the body that cannot function accurately, because they have to all be fitly joined together by that which every joint supplies. edifying itself in love. Okay? So here we are making a big to-do about our little part. See? I mean, we have so many scriptures that we're violating. When we do that, we are operating in pride, and God says he resists the proud. So how do we then become effective witnesses? That becomes the question. Because we have to transfer the grace. First, it has to be transferred into our spirit from his spirit, and then it has to be released from our spirit to their flesh so that they can have their flesh come alive, be born again, and then their spirit will then be able to receive information that's truth and freedom can come because of it. So I'm hoping that you're tracking this process. You can track what has happened, and you can track what hasn't happened. Okay? Because the dictate that God gave us should not have taken 2,022 years. Amen. Everything that was necessary was already released, transferred by Jesus. We just haven't been obedient. He said, go and make disciples of how many men? All men. Did he say, go make disciples of the Baptist men? Go and make disciples of the Methodist men. Go and make disciples of those that you like, you think are clean. He said, make disciples of all men. That would include the heathen, wouldn't it? Come on now. I mean, we got to look at the scripture. We have separated ourselves just like Pharisees and Sadducees. The man said, I'm not like this sinner over here. I give all I have. I pray all the time. And he said, Jesus said, you're going to leave here rejected, and that one will be accepted. And we read that in the Bible and then ignore that he was talking to us. Okay? I mean, we've got to grow up in the things that are biblically based to be walked out by a obedience of the Spirit. See? I mean, we've been immature too long. It's time for us to grow up. Yes, it's a committee of one to start. But the committee of one must make invitations by grace. Because grace causes salvation and teaching. According to Titus chapter 2. That's what I almost pray every time. That the grace of God, which has appeared unto all men, would teach us how we should live in this present world. See? Grace has appeared to teach. See? Just saying that lets me understand from God's perspective, we must not have been willing to teach if the grace had to appear to show us to teach. Everything that we would need to be victorious has already been given to us. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, okay? But we haven't executed because we'd rather be conveniently attached to whatever it is we think we like. See? And I get your comfort zone. I'm not mad about your comfort zone. I'm asking you to inspect your comfort zone and then say, you know what? I wasn't called to be here. I am being disobedient to the go ye. Amen. And the go ye said make. Come on, y'all. Make disciples. In other words, I know you're going to run into resistance. Find out the answer that I'm giving you so that you can be effective and make disciples. Okay, we're going to dig into that. He did not tell us one time to make members. Amen. Preaching good there, Pastor. I know. He told us to make disciples. See? Those that are taught and disciplined by Jesus. I mean, this would have dismantled all of the foolishness that we've had to live through if we would have just done that. But what we get involved in is we get involved in kingdom building. Rather than kingdom business. Ooh, See, kingdom building is to make disciples. And we've been trying to make members. And that's not good. So if we're going to understand this, praise is one of those things that helps us to transfer this grace. Because praise was not, this is what happened. You can see this scripturally. Praise was not meant to be handled by us. Praise belongs to God. The devil was the anointed cherub. I mean, when I think about some of the things that he was designed to do, he didn't play an instrument, beloved. He was the instrument. My God, my God. See? But he decided that he was going to be the one that would be worshipped. I will ascend. I will make myself like God. That's what he began to think. That's what he began to say. You see that in Isaiah chapter 14. And then God said, okay, well, we'll deal with that now. You are now dismissed. And he was cast down to the earth with that thinking of, I will be worshipped. So that's why he came here and tries to steal worship from us of God. Okay? And he's been learning how to be effective at that because we don't know who we are. We don't know our assignment. Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. You're not in that equation. Devil's not in that equation. See? So then if, just by definition of the scripture, if you're not praising the Lord, then you're not being obedient to what your breath was ordained for. Did I say that wrong? Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Okay? So I'm not meant to be praising other people. You can give thanks for them. Not a problem. Got that. But we have come away from what the design was, and we just live as we want to, make it up as we go. See? And then so when you begin to praise men, men love praise. See? Just like men love darkness rather than light. They love praise because it's something that is completely uplifting. And if I don't allow God to lift you up, as the Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord, he'll lift you up. If I allow men to lift me up, then I'm going to be out of my position of authority. I'm going to abuse my position, as the devil did. Abnormal use. Smashed together is the word abuse. Abnormal use, abuse. Wasn't designed for that. But we take that. Because it did feel good. And then when we get spiritual, we say, oh, no, don't say that. And we want them to say it more. No, we should say when that happens, thank God that I was simply obedient. Thank God that I actually heard correct how to get information to you that would be a blessing to you. Because God is the one that authored that word that I just said. I didn't tell you not to say it. I gave thanks that God gave me the word to give liberty to you. Amen. See, I'm learning how to handle it correctly. That was supposed to go to God. See, yes, I appreciate him revealing things to me. I tell him that all the time. But I'm not going to get stuck in a place where I'm the one saying, you know, look at me. It was an interesting minister that said one time. He said that the animals didn't have that issue. You do remember that Jesus told his disciples to go and get the ass, and he said he would ride on the ass, and then that ass could have been walking around talking about, look at me, I'm the only one that got to carry Jesus. Look who's on my back. That's not what he was not created for that. His position was to simply make a conveyance from point A to point B. That's all he was. I'm simply the messenger. See? I'm not the author. I'm not the creator. I'm the messenger. All I am is equal to the one that would say, hear ye, hear ye. That's all I did. I read the proclamation. That's all I did. He wasn't the one that has any power behind the words that were spoken. Excuse me. That was on the one that spoke it. Okay? So praise is supposed to be handled correctly. There's a transfer that praise brings, requires. Okay? Excuse me. If we understand these principles, then we'll use a praise as a weapon. And it's not a secret weapon. We know the effect of the presence that comes when praise is released. Because when praise is released, God shows up. The Bible says he inhabits that. See? So then, since he's wanting to come into the situation, whatever your situation is, God is interested in being in the midst of it. It's the Lord our God in the midst of us. Excuse me, he's mighty. I had a catch in my throat here. So, in the name of Jesus, be released. So he'll show up on our behalf if we learn to live in this. Learn to, that's one of the statements you can look at. Learn to live, learn to live in the praise of God. Learn to live there. Let that be your normal, okay? Learn to live there. That I'm just going to perpetually offer up praise. And didn't David say, his praise shall continually be in my mouth? And that's going to take some training from where we are now. Because I know I find myself complaining about this, that, or the other right quickly. It's natural. It's second nature. It doesn't even affect me. But I train my spirit. I train my understanding to function in why did they do that? That's a complaint, beloved. Why did they do that? The Bible says that in the thing, if you would give thanks, you would then be in the will of God. Did not say thank God for the thing. It said in the thing, do this, give thanks. See? I know we can levy all kind of complaints against the people that we put in authority, the president and the Congress and the Senate, and we make all kind of complaints about what they ain't doing and why they do this. See, no. God says in the thing, what I need for you to do is to give thanks. We're the ones that are supposed to pray for those that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life. God bless the Lord. He said that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. So then if I'm interceding, I just don't know how we can think that we can pray for them and talk about them at the same time. Amen. That would make us a double-minded man, and a double-minded man cannot receive anything from the Lord. Excuse me. Don't even let him think he'll receive anything from the Lord. See? So then if I'm praying, as I'm praying and obedient and praying for them, then I got to just shut my mouth when it comes to time to make a complaint, don't I? I'm looking for deliverance. I'm looking for a way out. But I'm locking myself into that situation because I just complain, murmur. They ain't giving nobody no raise right here. Well, you can just forget raise happening in your future because the complaint, the murmuring in your heart, the murmuring in your mouth has stopped the flow of God, the favor of God. Okay? I mean, he's able to work things out in a manner that you would have never thought about. That's exceedingly abundantly, isn't it? But here I am saying that my thoughts are the ones that should be heard at the present time because I don't like this, so I'm going to say something. See, I abandon praise. We should live in the presence of praise, live in the praise of God. Okay? That's just something that you might want to look at in your own life. Just say, wait a minute. David said that I'm supposed to have the praise of God continually in my mouth. Continually. So that I'm going to have to remove the stuff that isn't praise. And that doesn't mean that I just can't talk about people as bad. That means I go to intercession and thank God for the deliverance of his word. Thank God for the moving of his spirit in every situation. He said he would perfect that which concerns you. See? So that I just remind him that I understand that's what he's doing in my life, in my heart. So I found out really a long time ago, I said this, that the devil can only cause me to be more mature in God. That's all he can actually do. I don't allow that because I get mad, frustrated. I give up on the plan of God. I give up on the purpose of God. See? And then I allow myself to go into covenant agreement with the devil. And I do this in my heart. Before any word is said, my heart is already out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth goes to talking. So when I say something, that exposes what is in my heart in abundance. Jesus said that. That's in red. Then he told you, by your word, same verse, chapter 12 of the book of Matthew, verse 35 and 37, it says, by your words are you justified, by your words are you condemned. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. A corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. See? I don't care how much you justify it because of this, that, or the other. You've got to decide that you're going to continually let the praise of God be in your mouth. Okay? See, that's when you do that, you are now transferring grace. You're transferring your deliverance. You are expediting your deliverance. Come on, y'all. You want to get out of a situation, begin to praise. Purpose in your heart that you're just going to praise. Purpose that. See, look for it. See, the Bible says that you have the ability to think on these things, the things that are pure, the things that are just, the things that are holy, the things that are lovely, the things that, see, think on those things. He said if you could find any praise, any praise. Well, thank you, God. I praise you. I worship you. I have a job. I'm not going to talk about my boss that the people said was mean, and I agreed with them, and then I started speaking against your word. Your word says to find, think on these things. And you said it could be so minute, any praise, any virtue. I mean, he just gave us a way out. That would be your mustard seed to cause the tree to grow, but it has to be planted. See? Instead of you plucking off the leaf of frustration, plant the tree of salvation. That was good. Don't take the tree of the leaf of frustration. Plant the praise that's necessary for your breakthrough. Plant it. Do it on purpose. Okay? As we do these things, then we are aligning ourselves as sons. See? And as you align yourself as a son of God, the one that has the power to declare, ooh, my God. See? A bastard, a one that acts like he doesn't know or have a father, he says things that a bastard would say. A bastard would function under the spirit of pride, rejection, and fear. Okay? But a son speaks from a position of power and confidence. Glory to God. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And then you'll ask what you will, and it shall be. Didn't say it might be, said shall. Shall is one of those absolute imperatives. See? When we change our heart's position, this is what he told me this week. He said, live from the position that you have been seated in. I said, wow, that's a good one there, Lord. Live from the position that you've been seated in. Because Ephesians tells me that I've been made together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right, let me go there first. Let me just say, show you that. Ephesians chapter 1. All right, just so that we can get this. That's not where the thrust of the ministry was coming from, but these are some of those foundations that we just have to have. Okay, we have to establish that in our heart. I'm going to do this. Okay, here is the study for you. Okay, I want you to study from verse 16 to chapter 2, verse 7. Okay, I want you to study that. Read it 4, 5, 6, 12 times. All right? Begin to pluck out of that the who you are. Okay? That we're going to pull that out so that you will know that. This is homework. Because if we don't get this down, and I mean just it's automatic to you, then all of the other promises that you want to participate in, you end up not going from the position that you've been seated in. You go as a beggar, as a bastard. Okay? And so we're gonna turn that around. Let's go to this. It says verse 16. God. See, it keeps backing up because it's all good. Good. Verse 16. Paul is saying this, that I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this is what he prayed. This is the prayer. You can color it in. Underline the whole thing. Stars. This is the prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of glory, that he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling and what the riches of his glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, this power that he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. He has raised him up, set him in the heavenly places, and these heavenly places are far above, not just barely above. He said far above all, I circled the word all, principality, and all, I inserted the word all because the sentence goes on because of the word and all power, and all might, and all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all the things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So he gave this to the head, and he gave this to the body. Is that correct? He put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all, over all the things to the church, which is his body. So if the head has been placed, is seated far above all principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, and the body is connected to the head, we also are seated in these places far above all principalities, power, dominion, names, every name that is named, not only this world, but also in that is to come. Well, you just making that up. Well, let's just keep reading, okay? And you, who are quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past, You walked according to the course of this world. You shouldn't be walking that way now, because this was in times past. According to the prince of the power of the air. All right, let me stop right there for a second. You know, the prince of the power of the air, let me just ask you, is what comes on your TV and on your radio, is that subject to the prince of the power of the air? Yes, it would be, because it comes through those air waves, doesn't it? Yeah. So then some of the things that you're listening to and is motivating your life or devaluing your life, whichever one, they come under the subjection of the prince of the power of that medium. Is that correct? That's why you will hear us say things like, you should probably turn the news off, because you got good news in your Bible. It's called the gospel. Well, find out how to live in that good news rather than participating in the bad news, which causes fears, frustrations, anxiety. Okay? Let's stop doing that, because when we do that, we put ourselves in subjection to, okay, wherein in times past you walked this way according to the course of this world. You were trained that way. You were filled with the thoughts that would cause you to make actions that are against you, because that's developing a belief structure. Okay? This is what he's using. Okay? So then the information on the internet might not be accurate. Let's go to the gospel, because it is truth. His word is truth. From the beginning, it says. This is now, when you do this, you walk according to the power of the prince of the air. According to that power, suggestion. We all know it's a powerful thing, don't we? They don't have to have truth anymore. All they have to have is a suggestion. Because we've been trained that as they speak, that must be the truth. No, the prince of the power of the air is manipulating things. It was that information that comes across the television was never intended to make you free. Amen. Jesus said it clearly, if you continue in my word, then are you disciplined, and you will become intimate with truth that comes from my word, and that truth that comes from my word would make you free. Okay, again, I'm just trying to connect the dots. We'll do our devotional time in the morning, and then all day long, listen at CNN, NBC, ABC, Fox News. That information was never intended to cause your freedom. Okay? Well, I just want to know what's going on. I get that. I understand that. But if that's your primary source to become free, you just got robbed. Because, again, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Where did they get that spirit from? The prince of the power of the air. And now the spirit that comes from that information. If Jesus said, continue in my word, and that truth will make you free, if you continue in listening at something other than truth, that will bring bondage. That is the converse of what he said, continue in my word, and you'll be free. Continue in the lie, and you'll go to bondage. But it looks like that. Okay, I get that. I understand that. But you're only hearing half of the story at best. When you're dealing with a report from anybody, they are only giving you half of the story that they understand. I'm going to even break it down further. Half of the story that they understand. That didn't even make it half of the story. That just made it half of the story that they understand.
So now you're going to operate just if we're going to follow that out, that would be now you're operating in a quarter of the truth or a fraction of the truth. I can use their quarter. Because they can only give you the portion, half of the portion that they understand. True? Can you see that? So that's diminished results to start from. See? They could be completely convinced that what they have is the whole truth, but it's only part. Amen. It's the part that they understood because they could never know the intent why it was done. The Bible says no man knows the thing that's inside the man except the man. Okay? So then their intent, even though it looks like this, it adds up to, if it quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, it's a duck. That's only half of the information. Because, okay, wow, I hadn't thought about that, Lord. If they've been trained to make duck steps and make duck sounds, then everything they do is out of their training. Not necessarily out of truth. Wow. Come on, man. See? So then they've been trained to look only this far. So then if it quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, acts like a duck, it's a duck. But if the duck has been trained or if the person has been trained to do duck things, still doesn't make the person a duck. I hope you follow that. That was fresh for me. See? He says that the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation or lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, I read that just because it was there, okay? Because it's chapter 2 is connected to chapter 1, okay? Listen at this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when you were dead in sins, hath he quickened or made you alive, quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath, past tense, raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And what happens when you sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus goes back up to verse 20 in chapter 1. This said he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. See, that's you living where you've been seated. See, that's why I got excited about hearing that again. Because he told me, okay, I want you to remember to live where you're seated. And again, he set us there. He did not make me stand there so that I would be in a position of fighting. He made me sit there so that I would be in a position of rest. That doesn't mean I don't do what I need to do. See, I find out that you learn more at rest than you do by stress. I'll say that again. You learn more at rest than you do by stress. So God sets you down in the position of rest so that he can teach you. You learn more at rest than you do in stress. Okay? So then because of those principles, then I need to, again, get myself back into the place where, okay, God, you set me here. I can meditate now, can't I? Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's hear it in Psalms 1. He said, the blessed man is the man that's planted. Did you get that? He's planted. See? He's put in a place where all of his provision is already there. He's planted by the rivers of living water. Go over there, flip over there. Psalms 1. So you can see this, because God made us to sit so that we would not have to be stressing. See? The whole thing is just good, but just go. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In times past, you did that. But he hath made you to sit, okay? Nor walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his light doth he meditate day and night. This man, the blessed man, shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. The man is planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in his season. The man is planted by the rivers of water that works on automatic, that brings forth his fruit in his season. Look at this. And his leaf shall not wither. Provision is there. Execution is there. Responsibility is there. He was planted where he can be victorious. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth. I mean, this man that's the blessed man, that's planted, that's put in the position of rest, he has guaranteed victory no matter what he doeth. Whatsoever he doeth, it prospers. See? But the ungodly are not so. But they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. These are the people that are listening to information that doesn't help them win. They are driven by the winds. They are subject to the spirit that works in the people, children of disobedience. You see that? Okay. I'm trying to get you to think about the transfer of praise, the transfer of grace. This blessed man, did it say anywhere in here that this blessed man had to work for any of those things to happen? The rivers, he's like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water, and because these rivers, okay, when you look at rivers, here's something that happens when rivers come together. There is a stirring that happens automatically when one flow comes into another flow, okay, from a different direction, okay? Rivers of living water would be a point of convergence, correct? He didn't say, okay, he did not say a branch of a river, okay? That would be different. That would be one river that is now going from the point of origination to two separate places. But he said rivers, which means this was the Allegheny River and this was the Mediterranean River, and they came together. Each river had its own supply, didn't it? And when it comes together and meets at that point of convergence, there is a stirring up now. So the things that were in one stream are going to be agitated and brought to the top by the things that were in another stream. So I don't have to work for my blessing. They're coming from all directions and stirring them up so that I can see them when they come to the top. And notice he did not tell me how many rivers there were. He didn't just say two rivers. I've got a river of joy and a river of peace. I've got a river of grace and a river of power. I've got a river of love, all converging where in the place where I was planted. My God, my God. I hope you're getting this. See? This is the blessed man. This is not the working man. This is the blessed man. He understands that he's been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's just back up a little bit in this. You're in chapter 2. Go back to chapter 1, and just so that we can see these things again, saying that all blessings, not some, all blessings, are there. Let's look at verse verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace. See, these rivers, I just cited those rivers. Grace and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, past tense, hath blessed us with, A-L-L, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He said he has put us in the place where, A-L-L, all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Listen at that phrase. Because that's why he made you sit together in Christ Jesus, so that all spiritual blessings would be flowing to you. There is a stream where the there is a river, the streams thereof make glad the people of God. Again, he did not tell you how many streams were feeding that river. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. See, he's wanting you to connect to this transfer of grace. As we do that, as we hear that, it's going to be incumbent upon us to live in that. See? As we live in that, the transfers become more automatic, or you become more sensitive to it, because you will keep yourself, wow, that's true, sir, you will keep yourself in the place of your planting. You will live from the position that you've been seated in. But here is what has happened. We're talking about rivers. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. Thank you, sir. Verse 13. This is what we've done. And God said, it ain't that bad a deal, y'all. It's just two things that's wrong with my people. My people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And two, they have hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. He said, my people are messed up because they keep thinking that the flow that they make is the flow that's going to work. Well, all they've done is they've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they made for themselves cisterns, pots, that can't hold no water. The water does go into the pot. Notice he didn't say they rejected water. He said they can't hold the water. So you work because you can't have supply. All you can have is that which came into the pot and which is going, which you can catch before it goes out the pot. So even your catching is going to be more work. And we've forsaken the fountains of living waters. Okay. Those rivers again. If I'm getting my information from a bad source, that is one of the rivers that supply me. So why would I stay at a place where the supply is never enough? When I have the connection to one who said these waters are living waters. They are waters that are alive and cause life. That would be a river of living water. But here I am trying to eke out what I can get from this pot that I made that doesn't even hold water. Okay, how frustrating do you think it would be, beloved, to see your blessing, know it's your blessing, and then it leaks out of the place where you're trying to hold it? Did you see that? Because the blessed man, the one is at rest, he says, this man, everything this man does is blessed. His leaf shall not wither. He's planted there. This man doesn't have to get up and go get anything. God brings him to him. That's the way God set this thing up from Jump Street. If you look at what he told Adam to keep the garden. Then he said, look here, I need you to name all the animals. The next verse said, and God brought the animals to Adam to see what he would name them. That just blows me away every time I think about it. God said, here, I need you to do a job. And then God brought him everything that he needed to do the job so that he could say, okay, this is what I call that. And that was the name thereof. That's the way God, he put man into a finished work. He didn't tell Adam to plant in the garden. He told him to keep the garden, to maintain. See? And since, I'll just go on in until we hear, since the whole garden was brought to pass by vocal command, then that's the same way God wanted the garden to be kept, by vocal command. Well, why would you say that? Because as soon as Adam sinned, God says, now you're going to have to live by a different process, no longer vocal command. You're going to have to live by the sweat of your brow. Do you see this? Because in the beginning, God said, and he gave man the ability to speak. He made, in one version it says, he made man a speaking spirit. Okay? So then the way God intended for man to rule, have dominion, to be fruitful, he wanted him to be a speaking spirit. Thou shalt declare and decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. You have the power to call those things that be not as though they were. Whatsoever you say when you believe, you shall have whatsoever you say. He wanted man to rule by verbal command. That's why he tells us, stop saying the wrong things, because you were created as a speaking spirit and you have the ability to release verbal command. By your words are you justified. By your words are you condemned. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I mean, do you see the connection? See, you have been given this. This is the transfer of the grace of God in your life. And we've been abusing it because we didn't simply understand it. We would blame everybody. It's the devil. It's this man or that man. No, no, no. Everything in your life comes into your life. Okay. Proverbs chapter 18:21 says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And they that love, whichever one they love, shall eat the fruit of it. Death and life. He did not say the death and life is in the power of your boss. If you feel that your finances are dead, ain't going nowhere, death and life is in the power of the tongue. This is the transfer that we need to get at. Understand how these things work. See? Because you have creative or destructive power that God issued to you. He didn't take it back. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So rather than complain, you can receive the transfer of grace through praise. See? You can do that. You can walk it out day by day. Purpose that you're no longer going to participate in your own demise by releasing words that are not words of faith. By releasing words that are emotional. Okay? So you're supposed to be rooted and grounded and settled in the truth. To me, if I'm rooted and grounded and settled in the truth, emotions are no longer necessary. Come on, y'all. Oh, that was a good one. Emotions are no longer necessary to lead me. I didn't say emotions are no longer necessary for you to have. They are no longer necessary for them to lead you. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are called the sons of God, not those that are led by their emotions. Come on now. Where I was headed is kind of been altered, but I believe that this is good and necessary for the time that we are hearing it. because we're living in a in situations that require a commanded word that comes from God. See? You are the man that's planted by the rivers of living water. Whatever you do, it's going to prosper. Leaf shall not wither. Wait a minute, y'all. Come on. I'm sorry. He said, living waters. Living waters, to me, don't sound like threatening waters. Did he not say that he was going to cause me to lay down beside still waters? And in that place, come on, y'all. I told you, you learn best at rest. You don't learn much through stress. This, when you get to the place where you are at still waters, then what happens is now he can restore your soul. Psalms 23. I mean, we all know it. We all quote it. But we haven't dug into it and decided to live there. When I do that, listen to the rest of it. I mean, woo. When I do that, then it will be surely goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. See? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord, in the place of his abide. Oh, my God. I will dwell in the place of his abide. Did Jesus not say, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if any man open the door, my Father and I will come in and we will set up camp. We will live with them. The place of his abide. Why do we let Jesus in only to kick him back out? I don't want to do what you say, Jesus. I know you said forgive. I don't want to forgive. I want them to do what's right by me. The pastor that I worked with, and he was saying that he and his wife were having intense fellowship, and he was just trying to make sure that she understood what he was saying. And God asked him, he said, do you want to be right or do you want to be righteous? And so then that kind of took care of that argument, because I'd rather be right than righteous, and I'll lose everything I get. But if I'm righteous, I'll be right. See? Me being right would be a manifestation of my pride. Me being righteous will be a manifestation of my sonship. These are things that we're going to have to do. There's a transfer that has already been given to you, but you're not walking in the trail. Okay, all right. I live in Chicago, and you would get from one side of the city to the other, and you would pay your bus fare, and then you would purchase a transfer. And what the transfer was used for was to take you down the line, maybe in another direction, but in a continual motion. So the transfer was given to me. But if I didn't use the transfer at the place where a turn was necessary, then I would not end up in the place that I was ordained to go. Okay? So God gave you, he gave you all of the things that you need that pertain to life and godliness, but you haven't used the conversion, the transfer. You've done what we did in times past. When it didn't go right, we would fuss, murmur, and complain. We didn't use the transfer, did we? We still have it, but we didn't use it. We would rather blame God because of our ignorance than submit to his word and ask him. He said, if any man lacks wisdom, come here, talk to me. The Emotions sang a song, said, don't ask my neighbors. You want to know something that's happening in my, don't ask my neighbors. Don't ask the friends I hang around. See? Get your information from the source, not a resource. Oh, that's good. See, a resource is the source of the second power. I need to get my information from the source. CNN is not the source. CNN is a resource. ABC is not the source. ABC is a resource. Fox News is not the source. Fox News is a resource. I need to get my information. Wow. I need to get my information from the source. Isaiah chapter 29. Hope you're getting something out of this. 28. Isaiah chapter 28. Verse 9 and following. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. A precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. But with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to his people. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. But they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That they may go backwards, fall. Be taken and snared. Why? Because they didn't get it from the source. From the breast, he said. El Shaddai. The breasted one. The many-breasted one. See, he doesn't want you to get your information from resources. He wants you to get it from the source. And he told you how that was going to happen. He said with praying in other tongues, stammering lips. So then if you are just getting information from a resource, there's no sense in trying to find a way to pray about that. That's not your supply. The supply that he gives you is going to be confirmed by the Spirit as you pray in other tongues. See? Because he said, I will speak. I will speak to this people. That's an active word right there. He didn't say, I have spoken. I will speak to this people. So then once you get a confirmation in your spirit about something, because you're getting information from the source, now you can pray about that. You can pray about that because as you pray in other tongues, the Bible says you pray mysteries. And the mysteries that are hidden, God wants to reveal them to you so he can bring you to the place where the devil can't mess with you. This happens while you're at rest. You've been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See? I have conversations with God that are destined for me. Devil knows nothing about it. He can't stop what he don't know nothing about, can he? Because God was talking to me. And he's preparing me for my next step. And then when I make my next step, I go and say, okay, good. I made that step. I'm coming back home so I can sit down and rest. I don't have to fight these demons that's out here. I can go back and remember that in my position that you called me to, that you've ordained for my life, I've been made to sit in heavenly places above that. So what are the words, Lord, that you would have me to say to this situation about this circumstance? I got that. You revealed it to me in the spirit by praying in other tongues. And now I will make that declaration. I will get the interpretation of those tongues. And now I will release that into the atmosphere over my life. See? It becomes my natural thing. That's what Jesus would do. A great while before morning, he would go and he would pray. And then when he go through the day, he could just walk in victory throughout the day. They tried to stone him one time, and the Bible says, and he hid himself going through the midst of them. Wait a minute. How you going to hide yourself going through the midst? Huh? Power of God can cause you not to be harmed, even though you, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, the power of God can cause that to happen. Okay? So his instructions were not to retaliate, glory to God, tit for tat. His instructions were to just walk through the midst of them, show the power of God. They intended to hurt, harm, kill, destroy, and you walk through the very midst of them. You didn't walk on the outskirts. You didn't run away from them. You walked straight through the midst of them. See? He wants to take us to a place where we know that our enemies mean absolutely nothing to the plan of God. He's going to use all things. He's going to make all things work together for my good. They didn't even know they were helping me get to victory. Because what the devil meant for evil, God meant it for good. So that I would be a supply in the time when it's needed. See? But those are not things that we've been thinking about. See, that's why we have to get this transfer of grace. We have to understand what praise does for our victory. See? The homework, again, just go on and read that passage of Scripture from Ephesians 1, verse 16 through chapter 2. Verse 7. It's information that would sustain you. I don't know that I have a feel good message or ministry. I have the things that will be able to sustain you, not just make you endure, but no, that's a good word, sir. That will sustain you. Sustaining you means that you are connected to life. Endurance means that your life is going out and you're trying to hold on. Different application there. See, as I focus on the word of God and focus on staying in the place where praise can come out of my lips continually. See, then I release God and his power to work in my behalf. That's why he shows up, to work in my behalf. If God be for me, who can be against me? See, but if I'm going to try to work it out on my own, then I'm going to have to listen at the places where all of the circumstances came back to haunt me. I want to live like he told Moses. He said, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more forever. When Jesus was tempted and he ran the devil off by saying what God said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And then the Bible says, and the devil left him for a season. Amen. Notice. Wow. See, when I'm sustained, I don't have to go to another place. When I'm trying to endure, I might have to go to this place, that place, another place. When I'm sustained, I'm planted. See? I'm going to flourish where I'm planted. I don't have to go to another place. I'm looking for a better job. No. I understand that I was planted by the rivers of the living water. My flow is here. My supply is here. See? So why am I trying to go someplace else to just, well, it's not working. And I would say to you this, if it's not working, it's because you're not working it. And I'm saying working the word. I'm not talking about working the controls and manipulations that we do to try to get one-upmanship. Work the word. The word will not return void. It will prosper in the thing where it's been sent. It will accomplish that which pleases God. Work the word. Go back and say, okay, Lord, this is what you told me. Didn't matter. Even if I'm in the wrong place. Every place the soles of my feet shall tread, he's giving it to me. Work the word. Here we are trying to work the circumstances. Stop it. Work the word, the circumstances will come into, you've been made to sit together in heavenly places far above all of the names that's there. See? So work the word. And I'm not working the word for my convenience. Oh, my God, my God. I'm not trying to work the word for my convenience. I'm working the word for my victory. But this is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. See, I'm not working the word for convenience. I don't want to go through this. You don't have to go through this. Work the word, and you've been made more than a conqueror. Work the word. See? But if you're going to work for convenience, then you stop. Come on now, just get it. You stop short of your victory if you're looking for convenience. Amen. I mean, you can just see that. If I'm working for convenience, what I'm doing in that regard is I'm thinking like Esau. He was hungry, and he sold his birthright out of convenience to remove the hunger. Amen. If he had just said, well, I need to just go make me some food, it was evident he knew how to make it. He was still alive all this time. So he could have done what was necessary to make the food. But this meal is already ready, and I like this meal. Even my daddy liked this meal. Well, make the meal that will give you supply, because you sold your future because of convenience. Come on, y'all. How many times have we done that? Abandon our destiny for convenience. God, Father, God gave you witness in your spirit that he was bringing you the man that you're supposed to, the mate that you're supposed to be married to. And you went after the one that you liked. You sold your destiny for convenience. Some of y'all can ask you the question, how's that work out for you? Probably not good, because all of the issues would still come up. Because convenience, oh my God, my God, convenience has never been an answer. Convenience is that which is working a lie. Amen. My God, I can see that real clear. Because the plan of God and the will of God never change. But if I go after convenience, then I'm going to have to go and say, okay, this, I need you to change this and change that. Why? If it was the will of God. So we didn't wait on that, did we? We went after convenience. Brandy when it's handy, beer when it's near. Instead of working righteousness. Okay? Because the blessings of the Lord make it rich and adds no sorrow with it. If it's convenience, you're going to have the sorrow. But if it's the will of the Lord, he said, there will be no sorrow with it. See, I'm not going to give up my victory for convenience. The things that Jesus suffered gave him a name that is above every name. He didn't give it up. The prayer was, Father, if there's any other way, then we can get this done. And he said, but no, nevertheless, if I don't do this, your will is not done. I know I got the power to call down 12 legions of angels right now, and we can take care of this thing. But I'm not going to give up my destiny for convenience. I already know he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So you got some help coming that I don't know about. You got some help coming that I can't see. I'm surrounded here. Elijah, he said, Lord, open his eyes. And when the God opened his eyes, he saw chariots of fire all about the mountain. Elijah said, there'll be more that be with us than be with them. You just can't see your deliverance. Well, I'm going to go on up here. Me and the lad going to go on up here, and we're going to worship. Where's the lamb? The Lord will provide himself a lamb. Oh, I don't see. Well, lay down here, Isaac. Abraham, don't touch the lad. Do him no harm. Oh, what are we going to do about the sacrifice? Look over there. You see that ram caught in the thicket? Yeah, the same time you was coming up one side of the mountain, the ram was coming up the other side of the mountain. I had him already in reserve for you so that you will be able to do that. You spoke faith, and you said the Lord will provide a ram, but you didn't believe that in your heart, did you? He was just saying it because you didn't want to say what was really in your heart. You the sacrifice, boy. See, there is help that God has. There are streams in the river that God has already placed there so that it would make glad the children of God. But we have to, again, stay in the place where we're looking for the transfer of the grace through praise, not through murmuring, complaining, doubting, or unbelief. Praise. God abides there. That's the place of his abide. You let him in. Now let him be Lord and Savior. You let him in. Now let him be deliverer. You don't have to deliver yourself anymore. Every time I delivered myself, I found out it was a temporary deliverance. But when God does a thing, that thing stays done. There is no changing his word. He will not alter the thing that is going forth out of his mouth. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not bring it to pass? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not make it good? But they that wait upon the Lord, those are the ones that's going to renew their strength. They only have one direction. My God, they only have one direction. They will mount up. Glory to God. He did not say those that wait upon the Lord are going to have the renewed strength and they're going to have to go through. He said they that wait on the Lord, they're going to renew the strength and they're going to go up. Glory to God. See? Because he's made us to sit together, he's going to call us back to the place where we are elevated in the thing, the situation, the circumstance. We're elevated above the thing so that we can see accurately how to deal with the thing. They will mount up with wings of an eagle. Like the eagle, when the storm comes in front of the eagle locks his wings out, and the storm gives him the strength to overcome what was facing him. He did not have to flap to get out of the storm. He just locked his wings, and the storm carried him to the top. Those that minister unto the Lord, that's what the word wait there means. See? That's giving him the honor that's due his name. That's giving him the glory that's due him. That's assigning the praise that's due our God. Oh, that's the place of our invitation, beloved. That's the place where the transfer of the power of grace happens for you every time, all the time. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you. What will it take for you to get to the place where you abandon everything else? And know that my trust in God has to be sincere. What will it take? You've already gone through, gone around, gone down. Well, he called you to be seated in an elevated position. Father, we just thank you and we bless you for this word that you've given unto us to strengthen us, to settle us, to encourage us, so that we would then see the victory that's in Christ Jesus, that we would see the steps that you've ordained for us, that we will not be those that are moved by winds of doctrine, tossed to and fro, but we will be those that are unmoved. We will be those that are planted, knowing that the place you planted us is the place that is our supply. And we will learn how to look for our supply in that planted place. We will look for the fruitfulness that you promised, Father. Thank you for strengthening us today. give you the praise, sir. We give you the glory and the honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, again, if you have any comments, questions about the ministry, we'll give you an opportunity now to just go ahead and voice those. And so area code 678-521-0933. You have the mic. Area code 678-521-0933. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Glory to God. Area code 678-521-0933. Any questions or comments about the ministry today? Amen. Area code 708-475-2693. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight? Area code 708-475-2693. Amen. Well, again, I give you that opportunity because the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. But sometimes people don't want to say what God did, and that's not a good thing, because when you say it, you seal it. Amen. When you say it, you seal it. So we're glad that you were here on the call tonight. It doesn't look like everybody else dropped off. And if the Lord has laid on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, please be obedient to the Lord. Just go ahead. If this was a good word for you and it was sown in good ground because of your heart being open, then allow God to finish the process. Your seed is the expectation of the good that was planted on the inside of you. So just go ahead and go to the website and look for the donate tab and just be obedient to the Lord, because we are here by the free will offerings of the people that listen to the broadcast. And we're believing that as you sow into the ministry, that God, who was not willing to do without a cheerful giver, is able to make all grace abound to you so that you always, in all circumstances, have more than enough to be fully supplied to the point where you are giving to every good work and charitable donation. So we thank you again for being with us here on livedeliverance.com. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. So until the next time that we're gathered together, shalom.